Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In Matthew 18:4, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We're to humble ourselves like a child.
Hope has a name. The name has a face. And when you look into his eyes of love, you will never be the same. Your only hope is Jesus. Hope has a name. Yeah.
Well, hello. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Dr. Peggy Banks, and I am joined here with singer-songwriter Babbie Mason.
Hello, my friend. So happy to see you today.
Nice to see you. And we have a friend with us as well, Dr. Janet Blakely, and she's a missionary for many years and is with us today.
I'm thankful to be here. Thank you.
Well, we are looking at Luke chapter 18. We've had a couple programs that have been discussing what it means to pray with persistence, and then also looking at humility in prayer. So we want to keep discussing that topic a little bit more as we go back into the passage in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, as we see these two men praying to God, the difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector, and really talking about humility. Where Jesus says, "Those who, anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And we see this contrast between these two men. So we're thankful that you're joining us today with Hope Has a Name, that is part of our podcast programs with TWR Women of Hope. So Babbie, why don't you join us? Jump in here.
I think just to give us some context, I would like to read that passage again.
Okay.
From the book of Luke, chapter 18, and beginning at verse 9. "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Mm. I tell you, that is just a beautiful contrast in words.
Right.
That those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And I want to back up to verse 11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you." Can you just hear the self-righteousness in his voice and in his attitude? "God, I thank you that I'm not like those people."
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, have we ever had that attitude? God, forgive me.
Yeah.
Because I think I must have had that attitude. God, I thank you that I'm not like them. Mm-hmm. You know, quote, those people. And he uses that phrase, other people. You know, we probably have had that attitude. "The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector," or that guy over there. Mm. "I fast twice a week." And he goes through this list, you know, of things that he's done. Mm-hmm. You know, we often think that the things that we do for God as if we're helping him out, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. As if we're doing him a favor by doing all the litany of things that we pay enough, or we pray enough, or we go to church, or we read our Bible every day, and we have our quiet time, and all those things that we can just kind of check off a list. We have this attitude that if I do this, God will love me more.
Yes, yeah.
And I thank God that even when I miss it, he still loves me. Even when I don't get it right, mm-hmm. he still loves me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even when I miss the mark, I thank God for Jesus that he didn't miss the mark, and that my righteousness is not in the things that I do, mm-hmm. but it's in my righteousness is in Christ. He is the one that makes me right in right standing before God. And therefore, I don't have to worry about doing. I can just be. I can just be his child. And I can be in relationship with him. And I can have peace that even when I miss the mark, Jesus has me covered.
Yeah.
And that brings me such peace.
Such peace and such freedom, doesn't it?
When yes.
When we're not finding our identity and what other people think of us or what other people have. You know, we're starting to measure up, trying to measure up with what you have. And that's not what God wants me to have, or that's not what who I'm called to be, and not being satisfied in who God has called us to be. So,
you know, I grew up a preacher's kid in Michigan, and I grew up playing the piano there for many years before I got married and moved south. But there was this voice in the back of my head growing up that always, it was like the wagging of a finger, you know. Now, do this or God's going to be mad at you. Or show up for church and play the piano and be a good little church girl so that you can get it, you can work your way into heaven. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that I'm free from the duty of, you know, of trying to get it right. Because I'll never get it right. And I thank God for Jesus that he got it right. And he did it for me. He became the sacrifice for sin because I will miss the mark every time. But I thank God for Jesus who has delivered me from the law.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
I think back to when I started out in missions and they taught us, don't go there with an us versus them attitude. We were taught, go as a learner, not as a teacher. Try to learn first and try to understand the people, but go as a learner, not necessarily as a teacher, even though you think I have something to teach, and maybe you do, but first they need to know you're there as a learner. You go as a trader. I'm coming to bring something, but I want to get something from you as well. We want to trade even our stories. I want to hear your story, and then maybe you'll listen to my story. My story is the gospel. What's your story? I don't go there as a judge. I don't go there first to judge them. They're wrong. They're doing this wrong. You know, this is how you're supposed to do it. So that was always a very important lesson that they taught us as missionaries. So
what difference did that make? You know, having that attitude of preference. You know, I prefer you before I prefer myself. I honor you. I want to hear you. I want to hear your voice. What difference did that make in your relationship and establishing that relationship with those that you came to minister to?
Well, it reminds me of a missionary. His first name was Richard. He was always last. In other words, he would, whenever there was anything being served, he was the last one to be served. Whenever there was just anything that we were doing, he always put himself last. And he taught me that, again, we've come to serve, not to be served.
And you know what I found when I see people who love to serve? It looks so good on them. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. And I feel so, when people prefer me, you know, when they treat me as a guest, it just makes me feel so blessed.
Yes. Yes.
I love that attitude.
And that was the other thing they taught us. And I remembered every time I had to renew my visa to live in the country, I remember thinking, I am a guest here. And so I go there, I present my paperwork. Okay, I have to go back 3 more times, get it right. But I kept going back with another piece of paper because it was always a different person perhaps and they wanted something different. But I remembered that thought that I am here as a guest. I have no right necessarily. I mean, I'm sent by God, but I'm still a guest in their country.
I think that's a beautiful picture, Janet, that you share with us out of an experience of someone who's really lived it for many years, but not to forget that we are missionaries also here in our own country, and we are called to even serve in each other with a humble heart. So for our hearts to continue to be humble, I think this passage, you know, just convicts me tremendously. I never want to be a Pharisee. I never want to pray Pharisaical prayers. I never want this attitude with God, because God knows my heart. You know, I can look one way on the outside and everyone sees something very nice and humble and kind, and but yet I know what my prayers are like with the Lord. This just so convicts me for our hearts, especially in Christian ministry, for us to remember, you know, not to judge one another, whether they go to a different church than we go to, whether they dress a different way, whether they come from a different city, whether they look a different way than I look. This is one thing I think that God, his heart is burdened for the church, because there is so much Pharisaical things that are going on within our churches where we're judging one another and not being kind to each other and not serving each other and not seeing each other's as God's children.
You know, the word, what comes to my mind is the word prejudiced.
Mm.
Means to prejudge.
Yeah.
Is to make an assumption before you know all the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that convicts my heart, because, you know, as an African American person, I know what it's like to be prejudged.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to have people pass a judgment on me when they don't know me.
Yeah.
But I've also done that to others. In the same way that I've been prejudged,
mm-hmm.
I've also prejudged others. And so this passage, you talk about conviction, it does convict me. I remember one night I was in the grocery store line, and it was late in the evening, and I was a little anxious about getting into the parking lot in the dark, and there was a guy behind me. I was kind of uncomfortable. It was a white guy. I was a little uncomfortable about being in the same parking lot, and I was getting ready to grab my bags, and he said, "Excuse me, ma'am, are you the gospel singer, Babby Mason?" He actually recognized me. And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Praise God, I love your music. Praise God, sister, can I hug you?" And I was so convicted that I had passed judgment on this guy because he was a white guy, and he had on a certain attire, and he looked a certain way, and I passed judgment on him. Yet he was my brother in the Lord.
Mm.
And so the Lord just really, he got my heart that night. And it was a huge lesson for me,
yeah,
not to pass judgment on people before I even know them.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, I think of a couple other passages on humility. One is from James 4:6. It says, "But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble."
Mm-hmm.
And this other one found in Matthew 18:4, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven."
Mm.
That's a great picture, too,
yes,
that we're to humble ourselves like a child.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as we think about this passage and we look to our next program, we're going to be talking about what it means to come to the Lord with Christ-like faith, you know, to have this Christ-like trust in prayer, and how Jesus wouldn't, you know, the disciples wanted the children to not come to Jesus. They wanted to keep them away from Jesus. But Jesus said, no, let the children come. And we want to talk about that in our next program as we continue our conversation about prayer. And just wanted to remind our listeners that if you want to share some thoughts with us about the program, if there was something that we talked about today that really touched your heart, you can email Babby and myself. You can email me at peggy@twr.org or babby@twr.org. We pray that you would continue to just follow along with Hope Has a Name as we come together as women and talk about things that women are talking about. You don't have to have an education in Scripture. You can have known the Scriptures for many years. We're just coming together as women, discovering what God's Word says for our lives. God bless you today. We'll see you next time.